to confess our sins to God our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
The stone that the builders rejected
has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love and grant us the fullness of your salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 18th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no more upon it, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord. From the letters, Philippians chapter 3, verses 4b to 14. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the 3rd chapter. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to that which lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a winepress in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, He sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When, therefore, the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnated by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of the parable we heard today from Matthew 21, Jesus said, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is our text. Did you notice how Jesus leaves the ending of this parable open? After describing the owner's care and love for the vineyard, after describing the owner's repeated attempts to recover the fruit that belongs to him, after describing how the owner's servants and finally his son are abused and shamed, Jesus asks the chief priests and the Pharisees to write the ending. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the chief priests and Pharisees know exactly how a parable like this should end. They said to Jesus, "Why, he'll put those miserable wretches to death and lease the vineyard to other tenants, tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." The owner will put them to death, those wretches. That's what they say because that's what they would do. That's what we would do. And for a lot less than the wrongs done to the owner of the vineyard. In fact, it's too often what we have done. Someone wrongs us, and we wrong them. You hurt me, I hurt you. It's payback, revenge, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If not outwardly, then at least in our hearts. You know how it is. The wrongs that have been done to us, inflicted on us, we silently stew over in our hearts. We imagine a payback, even if we'll never actually do it. Just planning the payback, just dreaming and thinking about it, delights us. Maybe your coworker takes credit for something you did. Maybe someone questions your motives, the motives for what you're doing. Maybe you simply waved and someone didn't wave back. What is it for you? What causes all the self-righteous indignation to swell up in your heart and make you want to lash out at such ungrateful wretches? And for what these tenants did, you better believe they deserved a miserable death. The owner gave them so many chances, maybe too many chances, it seems. He sent servant after servant after servant, and then finally, when all those servants have been beat up or killed, he sends his son. And those tenants just keep getting worse. And they finally pushed him too far. Why, they can go to hell. That's what we would do. And so we think that's what God would do as well. Or that's what God should do. And this is what the prophet Isaiah warned would happen. The vineyard that only gives wild grapes will be torn down. There's a warning here for us as well. For us, if we think that our sin doesn't matter. For us, if we think that we can produce all the wild and sinful grapes we want in God's vineyard. Israel is the example. When they pushed God too far, what Isaiah prophesied happened. Enemy armies came and defeated them in battle and hauled them away into exile as prisoners of war, and they had to leave the land that God had promised to give them. Their stone walls, their weapons of war that they trusted in, didn't protect them. God was their wall. God was their hedge. God was their fortress, and without him, they went down. So yeah, we say, that's what they deserve. And truth be told, it's what we deserve too. And yet here the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees takes a surprising turn. Because the Pharisees say he will put those miserable wretches to death, but Jesus doesn't automatically agree with their answer.
with how they see the situation, with the end of the parable being a miserable death for the wretches. Now, it's not that they've given the wrong answer, just see what happened to Old Testament Israel. It's that their answer is incomplete. They say, he will put those wretches to a miserable death. And Jesus pauses for a moment. There's a bit of a dramatic silence before he speaks. He doesn't say, yes, he will. He doesn't say, no, he won't. He says, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He points to the scriptures. You see, like us, the Pharisees knew the law. The law is their native language. The law is written on our hearts, and it's the atmosphere we grow up in. It's what we know from experience. Endless cycles of revenge and payback, living in a dog-eat-dog world. Like us, the Pharisees knew what should happen to sinful, ungrateful, self-righteous wretches. What they didn't know, what they needed to learn, was the gospel. They needed to hear scriptures like this one, that God is so utterly unlike us, we need to rethink everything we thought we knew. How marvelous our Father in heaven is. So Jesus quotes the words of Psalm 118. How will the parable end? The stone the builders rejected, the stone that wasn't good enough, the stone that was rejected and thrown into the scrap heap, that stone God not only takes back, but he uses, and he makes the cornerstone. He makes that rejected stone the most important stone in the whole building, the stone on which the rest of the building depends. It's a new life, almost a resurrection for that stone. And that was the plan all along, Jesus is saying. What was written in the Psalms is happening with Jesus. Jesus is the one who is about to be rejected and thrown out with the trash. He's the one about to land on the scrap heap of humanity to be hung on the cross. But then he would become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, the psalm said. The Lord's plan all along. Except it doesn't really seem to fit with the parable, does it? The owner sends his son saying, they will respect my son. That seems strange. He doesn't expect the son to be rejected and thrown out. But here's the surprise. The word respect in Greek has two meanings, two different meanings, two actually opposite meanings. That little word can mean respect or it can mean shame. Which meaning should we pick here? Does the owner of the vineyard really think that they will respect his son after all they had done to his servants? Maybe. But that would be pretty foolish, wouldn't it? The character and the actions of those tenants don't suggest that they're going to respect the son at all. They will shame my son. Might be the better reading. Because that's exactly what happens. But who in the world would send their son to be shamed? Who sends their son knowing that he will be shamed or even worse? God does. That's exactly what God did. He sent his son to be rejected, to be shamed, to be thrown out with the trash in order to take him from the scrap heap, in order to take him from the grave, in order to raise him up back to life as the cornerstone. The stone upon which the whole church is built. God doesn't do what we would do. God doesn't do what we think he should do. He does this marvelous, wonderful work instead. And even Old Testament Israel gives us a picture of this. They were defeated in battle. They were hauled off. They were exiled. But our marvelous, wonderful God brought them back again. It was a new life for them, a kind of resurrection. And even this psalm, Psalm 118 that Jesus quotes, we read portions of this psalm often at the graveside of a Christian. There's hope for the body taken down by death. In Christ Jesus, there is life from the dead. I believe in the resurrection of the body. But it's not just for when you die. Jesus is holding this out to the chief priests and the Pharisees and you and me even now. He goes on to explain, the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. The time for crushing the last day is coming. That's what we think should happen right now to ungrateful, self-righteous wretches, that they should be crushed and be put to a miserable end. Make them pay. But not Jesus. He paid for us. And now is the time to fall and be broken. Now is the time to fall down in repentance for our wild grapes and for our judgmental hearts and for taking Jesus' forgiveness for granted. Now is the time to be broken in seeing that we are, in fact, the very same ones whom we judge. And no, it's not pleasant to be broken like that, but it's needed, and it's good. But to those who fall and are broken by the law, there is a resurrection, and there is new life in Jesus. There is the forgiveness of your sins. But again, who would do that? Who would forgive ungrateful, selfish, greedy tenants after they sin and kill the Son? God does. Now, in this time of grace, He forgives such ungrateful, selfish, greedy tenants as you and me. He washes us, washes our children with the waters of forgiveness and new life in baptism. He announces to us the new life of resurrection and forgiveness every time we broken sinners gather here after another week of wild grapes, and we are absolved. And then He invites us, not simply to go back out into the vineyard, but He invites us to come to His table, and He serves and feeds us with the body and blood of His Son. He builds us on the cornerstone, on the one who was shamed and rejected and tossed out and then raised up. He builds us broken sinners on Jesus. Who does this? Your Father does this. It changed the Apostle Paul's life, as we heard in the reading from the letters. The Apostle Paul thought that he was somebody already. He thought that he had accomplished everything one could accomplish in Judaism. No one could boast more than he could. But once he fell upon Jesus and learned the truth, nothing else mattered. His old life was simply that, an old life, and he said that everything else counted as rubbish. Everything else is rubbish. Once you make Christ Jesus, once Christ Jesus makes you His own. And God has made you His own. He gave His Son to make you His own. He gives His Spirit to make and keep you as His own. Not to go on sinning. Not to produce more wild grapes. Who does that? We do. But as wretched as we are, as ungrateful as we may be, we have an even more amazing and marvelous and wonderful Father who shamed His Son to honor us, who breaks us in order to raise us, who does this so that we won't be crushed in the end, but may live in His kingdom, His vineyard, forever. The chief priests and Pharisees wanted to arrest Jesus for saying this. They thought Jesus was the one who was broken. They thought He was the one unfit for anything. And they were half right. Jesus was broken. The broken one, broken for you and for them. He was the one broken to heal the broken, the one broken to forgive the sinner, the one broken and then built up that He might raise the dead. Broken that you might know the amazing, marvelous love of God for you. Jesus Christ, the stone the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone, and your new life is built on Him. And that's the end of the parable. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. For the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, you have planted us as your own vineyard, that we might bear good fruit for your glory. Grant us grace that we may be faithful and bring forth in our lives the good works that glorify you and serve your purpose. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, rescue us from all enemies of your church, and bless us with church leaders whose voices will not waver in any situation. Bless the president of the synod, our district president, and our president, and send more laborers into the harvest field. Give the whole church ears willing to hear your word, minds willing to be instructed, and hearts willing to trust you in all things. And embolden us to confess our faith in word and deed. Lord, in your mercy. Mighty Lord, give to the nations both the desire for and the blessing of peace. Thwart the actions of terrorists and those who would oppress with the power of fear. Bless our president, our governor, and all who pass, enforce, and judge our laws. Spare us from disease, fear, and harmful divisions. Deliver the poor from want, and help us to provide jobs and worthy employment for all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Everlasting Father, guide husbands and wives to love and forgive each other, and strengthen them in their life together. We ask especially your blessing on Tim Jackson and Kalisha Estabrook as they prepare for marriage. Be with all expectant mothers, especially Kelsey, Stephanie, Rachel, Abby and Laura, and protect any unborn children in danger of abortion. Bless the homes in which your people dwell. Help parents to be faithful examples for their children, and give room in their hearts and homes so that orphans may know the joy of a place and a home to call their own. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of love, deliver the sick from their illnesses, give relief to the suffering. Help the troubled to know peace of mind, and be with the grieving and those in their final days. Guide all healthcare professionals to serve those in need, and give patience to those who must bear with their infirmities, disabilities, and infertility. Hear us especially for Debbie and Dean Johnson, for Debbie's mother Phyllis, and for all who mourn the death of her father Charlie. For Emma and Adam Steino, Kathy Snydman, and all who mourn the death of Kathy's mother, Jane. For Mary Simeone, Destiny Stock, Michelle Studlian, Rich Verano, Carol Wade, Olivia Wilkins, Diane, Karen, John and Patty, John, Susan, Dan, Pastor Aaron Kotala, and Alicia Reinhardt. Lord, in your mercy.
Your honor.
Guide us, O Lord, that with all our hearts, minds, bodies, and resources, we may serve you. Give special blessing to the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and to the many ways they bring the good news of your salvation and the works of your love across our nation and world. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's body and blood in this Holy Supper, that we may be strengthened in faith, renewed in love, and nurtured in faith by our communion. Give us unity of faith and harmony in our life together. Bring us at last with the saints who have gone before, that we may attain everlasting life and dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Blessed Lord, keep us from resentful hearts that would begrudge your mercy or live selfishly for ourselves, and teach us to live for you the life that you have given us, treasuring in our hearts all that is good and wise, and seeking after these things. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Hear us, O Lord, and give answer to the prayers of your people that we have prayed in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, whom with the Father and the Spirit you are one God and one Lord forevermore.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take, eat the true body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Depart in peace. Take, eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. Take, drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.